So I'm speaking this morning with Anitra Freeman and Carla Reese with Seattle's Real Women in Black. Next week, December 21st, is National Homeless Persons Memorial Day. And WHEAL's Seattle Women in Black vigils are the only Women in Black vigils in the world that focus on the deaths of houseless people, whether outside or by violence. So the group emerged in 1999 and has stood now to honor the lives and mark the deaths of well over 1,000 people who've died since. Seattle's WHEAL Women in Black have been standing for 2 decades, oftentimes every time a person dies houseless, outside, or by violence, although they sometimes combine vigils. I'm speaking first with Carla. Hey, Carla, how are you doing? Thanks so much for joining me today. How long have you been standing with WHEAL Women in Black?
I've only just started standing with them. I've only been in there a couple times.
You're standing out there, cold, there's a pandemic going on. So why do you feel so strongly about this work to kind of show up under those conditions?
Well, it's to give some type of recollection to the people who have passed and to so that they can rest in peace. They have no way of having funerals or anything, so we're out there trying to give a little solace to their names and let them rest.
Right. And have you had a lot of friends who've died houseless?
My whole family is dying of cancer. I've lost my mom. I've lost my dad. I lost my uncle. I lost my sister. My oldest brother had a brain tumor removed from him. I don't even know if he's still alive. I only have 2 little brothers out of 5 siblings.
So you've definitely seen a lot of death and mourning in your own family.
Yes, and my husband passed away of cancer.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yes. I'm so sorry to hear, Carla. That's so much to grieve in a single life. Do you have any thoughts about kind of the significance of the fact that so many people are dying houseless in a city as wealthy as Seattle?
They say that they've got all this help out there that they're going to do to rebuild and everything. Of course, these are the people that's trying to get into the White House and everything. But where's the actual homes for them to be in? Where's the actual living space for them to be in, to be able to use the restroom, take the shower, whatever they need to do, without sitting in the street to do it?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have access to any of those amenities, and then they're actually dying outside.
Yeah, because a lot of them have ailments out there, and they should recognize that.
Were any of your family members houseless when they were struggling through cancer and those other illnesses?
No. This is my first time homeless. I've always had a roof over my head. Always. Mm-hmm. But come October 28th of last year, 2019... the lady I was living with, I didn't like to go out and party, and so she kicked me out.
Thank you. Thanks so much for speaking with me, Carla. So, Anitra, you were a founding member of Seattle's WHEAL Women in Black vigils. You want to talk a little bit about the origin of it?
Back in the late 1990s, there was a series of some really terrible murders among homeless people. What made it even worse, more heartbreaking, was the way that the people who died were treated in the media. And it got so you know that somebody had died. You probably wouldn't even see their name in the newspaper. And there might be a note on page 47, transient found dead. And even the women who were murdered in Pioneer Square, there was a lot more talk about drug addiction than about the person. So I went on a walk with Seattle Native Americans, a memorial walk, down along the waterfront. And we passed this big chain link fence, and all along it were posters with people's names. Homeless people who had died, and not one of them got covered in the media.
And they were all Native.
Yeah, Native Americans who had died. So we decided that we wanted to lift up the dignity of homeless people in death and in life by standing a public vigil. And we chose the imagery of women in black because that really stuck with us.
So the international peace group that began out of vigiling around Palestinian justice.
Right. Had Palestinian and Israeli women standing together. And it's usually, the vigils are usually about peace, you know, in places of war. And as I said at the time, you know, it's a war on the poor. We're talking about homelessness. It's kind of in line with what Carla was saying. It is a, like a war. We decided in 1999 that we would stand these vigils. We chose to narrow it to homeless people who died outside or in a public place or by violence, because those were the deaths that were most easily ignored or demeaned. I've also said at times that if we stood for absolutely everybody, we would be out there 24/7 and somebody would have to bring sandwiches. We had worked it all out, partnership with Mary's Place, the Church of Mary Magdalene at the time. And then we waited to hear about a death that fit those criteria. That was Debbie Cascio. At the time, we didn't know the details at the time. We found out many years later that she was murdered. That was the first death we stood. And in the first year, we stood vigil for 5 people. This year, so far, we stood vigil for 129. There were times when we stood like 3 weeks in a row, and we've never gone more than 3 weeks without standing at least one vigil. Last year, we stood vigil for 120 people, and this year, we stood vigil for 129. Like every other part of 2020, it's harder. It's really hard.
These new people coming out of these apartments, they're not used to being out here. They've been inside so long, like they wanted them to be. Their immune systems are weak. They come out here, and that's when they get blasted with that mess. And they come down sick. And here's how we're losing them, because a lot of them's not strong enough.
Actually, I've heard a number of times over that the people who have been homeless for a length of time are helping the people who just became homeless learn the ropes, learn how to survive. Melinda actually said...
And Melinda is another WHEAL activist who was here earlier and needed to take off. So.
A while back, it may sound crazy, but the COVID has been a blessing. In some ways, it has, because a lot of shelters like ours, you know, like the WHEAL shelter, cut the occupancy and went to 24/7. So the women can stay here 24 hours a day.
You're in the WHEAL day center?
I'm at the WHEAL shelter right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Women can stay here 24 hours a day. It's less crowded. I'll tell you, when I first came up here after the 24-hour thing, I said, I am envious. During the time that I was homeless, there was no place that I could go to sleep during the day. There was no place that I could go that was really quiet for any length of time. It's constant din around you. Melinda said, being fully rested is like coming back to life.
Because you never know what's going to come up next. Each day is a different day, and each day could be a different event. Yeah. One day where you have to really watch your back and survive out there.
Yeah.
And to keep yourself warm so you don't get that hypothermia and stop breathing.
Yeah. Being fully rested and under less stress in crowded conditions, the women here have become more active, coming out to Women in Black vigils. They've been participating in calls to the city council and writing letters to the city council. And with all of that, they won the funding to keep the 24-hour operation going through 2021.
Yeah, that's huge. So real organizing gains you were able to make because people are more rested and have a little more control over their physical surroundings.
Right. The most recent event that really brought home to me how important our vigils are for friends and for family was the November 18th vigil. One of the women that we stood for was Cynthia Cantrell, 58 years old, who was hit by a car
up on Aurora. Hit by a car is one of the most frequent deaths of homeless people. And it's not just because homeless people are out there a lot more often, vulnerable to the cars. But you're wandering around exhausted and under stress, and you're more likely to get in the way of a car. This was just one more example. Cynthia Cantrell was beloved many places, including the Bridge Care Center, and four generations of her family came to the vigil. They made their own poster board signs. The sign that really hit my heart said, "I love you, Grandma," with toddler scrawls all over it. It meant a lot to them. They kept saying that we were there and that they could join us. One of the things that we said in the very beginning of starting the Homeless Remembrance Project was that human beings, by their very nature, need a space for their grief. Human beings need not just a space for our grief, but human support during our grief. This is a quote from Barb of the Wheel Shelter about Women in Black. "It's a powerful experience to be part of the vigils, part of raising awareness, part of providing some closure for families and loved ones."
Do you want to say anything about what you see as the significance of people routinely dying on the streets of such a, you know, a city that has long been considered one of the most livable in the U.S., which clearly isn't saying much anymore?
This is the city that made Jeff Bezos the richest man in the world. And he owes this community a big slice of that wealth to help everybody else, because we have the resources to bring everybody inside. We have the resources. We just aren't using them to keep people alive.
In fact, I mean, we're hearing reports off and on of people actually dying, Amazon warehouse workers actually dying on the job, and you know, people being forced to basically work around them.
Oh, God.
So, you know, they are definitely actively creating these conditions by their union busting and their refusal to pay living wages and their refusal also to kick into any kind of housing taxes, right? They have consistently fought these initiatives. And Yuturk, just for our listeners who are totally unaware of kind of what you do when you vigil, can you say a few quick words about that?
It used to be we gathered in front of the municipal court building facing City Hall. Currently, we're gathering at the foot of the steps that lead up to City Hall. So there's a long, gorgeous, marble-looking steps with a water feature flowing down beside it. Wide, it's a wide, wide staircase, 4th and James. So we gather there. We have a few minutes of, you know, speaking why we're there, reading the names of the people we're going to be standing for. It'll be a brief prayer or dedication. We'll have poster board with the names of the people we're standing for and with other messages identifying ourselves as WHEAL, as Women in Black. And Carla has been holding the sign with our main motto,
without shelter, people die.
And people distribute themselves something like 6 feet apart, or all up and down those steps. We stand for 1 hour and then gather again. People share whatever, you know, thoughts occur to them during the vigil. We read through the names again, have announcements. Sometimes we let people know, by the way, next week we're standing again. Another thing that's happened all through the vigil is somebody will be handing out flyers to the people who pass by, telling them why we're standing here, telling them about the people that we're standing for, and giving action items. You know, it's last vigil, it was, we need people to be calling City Hall that we need more shelter.
Okay, and presumably, I mean, you're doing it in front of City Hall to call attention to the failure of a very wealthy city government to address, like, the basic survival needs of its people.
Right, and Michelle, our organizer and my friend, Michelle Marchand, she says every now and then, they can argue with your anger. They can't argue with your grief. And I think that has been the effectiveness of Women in Black. It's a whole lot harder for people to ignore what you're saying when we're standing for homeless people who've died.
That's a great note to end on, Anitra. I know you've been doing this work for many years now, so much respect for the importance of this organizing. I've been speaking today with Anitra Freeman and Carla Reese of Seattle's Real Women in Black Vigils, honoring the lives and marking the deaths of well over 1,000 people who've died houseless since 1999. To learn more about the organizing work of Real Women in Black, go to Wheel for Women, WHEEL, wheelforwomen.org. This has been Desiree Helgers for the Old Mole Variety Hour.